Hello, this is Kay Ballard with Women Are Not Funny Radio, the show where we would strongly prefer to prove the premise wrong. Today is a very special day for Women Are Not Funny Radio and for me personally, because my featured guest is someone I find personally horrible, and that is my mortal enemy, the delightful Patty Dye. Now, many of you know Patty Dye. Many of you are here because you love Patty Dye. And strangely enough, many of you consider yourself Patty Dye fans. What is wrong with you people? Seriously. Well, for those of you who don't know Patty, I want to tell you a little bit about her. Patty Dye is the mother of Emma and Tess, and the wife of someone she calls Mr. Brilliant. I call him Mr. What in the Hell Was He Thinking? Amazingly, she has had a successful career based on the fact that there are people who care about what she has to say. She is a true best-selling author, and the reason for that is that people buy her books. She insists upon it. Her most recently published book is Life is a Verb, and I confess, and I'm not proud of this, but I bought her book, and I was among the first to buy a Kindle edition. And that Kindle experience was among the first conversations I had with Patty. You see, she wasn't really cool about me buying her book on the Kindle. She was not concerned about the fact that I wanted the convenience and wanted it in a lightweight form and didn't want to pay a whole lot for it. She was more concerned about the fact that her book is full of original art, and she was afraid that it wouldn't come out and look right on the Kindle edition. And as I got to thinking about it, I think she actually just wanted me to buy two books. At any rate, she spent the last 2 years in service of her book. She's traveled almost every week to share her perspectives and to explain why she thinks it's important to tell those you love the story of your life. She's been tireless in promoting her book, and she's invited everywhere for signings and readings, and I got to thinking about that. Everywhere she goes, she has to read her book to the audience, so it's highly likely that most of her fans are illiterate. At any rate, she's written another book, which is safely at the publisher's, and it's safe, but we're not, because that book will be published and we will have no choice to buy it and to read it. Well, those of you who are regular listeners know that I ask every guest whether their appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio, whether they're using it as a stepping stone to something better, or whether they're trying to take over my show. I don't even have to ask Patty, because she is notably nefarious. Obviously, she is up to no good. That's true, isn't it, Patty?
I'm notably nefarious? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. I did. Do you like that?
I'm going to make that a trademark phrase at this very moment.
Well, you seem to glory in your role as my mortal enemy, but another thing that you do, and I just, you know, can't help but mention it, you're always copying me, Patty.
I am. That I am, except for the insanity part. The rest of it, I actually do copy you a lot.
You actually do, and I think, you know, I'm certain I'm not the only one who has noticed that. You know, I'm going to lay out my case because, you know, as you know, I am accidentally a lawyer, and so I'm going to lay out my case.
Let's hear it. I want some people to be on the jury, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? Your fans cannot rescue you from the truth. All right. So I produced, as it's widely known and widely ignored, I produced a comedy CD about my divorce called KK's Divorce. Mm-hmm. And you were so jealous of me for producing a comedy CD.
Oh, I see what slippery slope we are on.
You produced CDs of your book, which are shipping this month.
Because evidently no other CD had ever been created.
You're copying me, Patty.
KK's divorce.
I'm going to speed dial some
help for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. I'm extremely jealous of you. And do you know why, Kay?
Well, many people are, but why are you jealous?
It's your hair. It's
Yes, it is pretty, and I am pretty, and, you know, live with it, Patty. Okay, so you copy me by producing comedy CDs. No, I guess, you know, I produce the comedy CD. You produce CDs of your book. You have CDs of your book, 37 days, and you're selling them on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, you know, probably those fans are going to go there and buy them.
They might.
Don't you think?
They may do that.
They might just do that. And not only are you, you know, were you jealous? Are you jealous? You actually said to me, you are on iTunes. How can I get on iTunes? Didn't you? You're jealous of me for being on iTunes, aren't you?
I did, and I think I asked you how to do that. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to get that email response.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, once again, not only do you want to copy me, you want me to do all the work for you. I will sell you my ebook yet to be written called How to Get on iTunes Secrets. It's $47 and it comes with free bonuses.
I bet
okay.
It does.
Here is another way that you copy me. You have a young, handsome business partner.
I do.
Copying me.
Well,
okay.
That's true.
Daughters.
That is true. But he's daughters. Okay, all right. Okay. Daughters.
I had a daughter before you did.
Oh, honey. Okay, never mind. Oh, yes, you probably did.
Mm-hmm. Copying me.
Yeah, you're right.
And you seem to want to outdo me by having two. You copied me twice, I guess.
I am an overachiever in that way. I
mm-hmm.
am.
Okay. You collect art. I think you're copying me there.
I do. This is quite a list you have going.
I told you I'm an accidental lawyer. I would lay out my case.
Okay, go ahead. I'm keep going.
You're an inventor.
I am?
Mm-hmm. Didn't you? I mean, you claim to be an inventor. And I think you're copying me because you're jealous that I invented the skateboard.
Oatmeal. I invented oatmeal.
You mm-hmm. invented oatmeal and Hall & Oates.
I can't take credit for the Hall part. I can take credit for the Oates
for
part.
There are people who dislike you strongly for inventing Hall & Oates. Just fess up. You invented oatmeal. People dislike you for inventing oatmeal too, Patty.
I know. That oatmeal might have been a mistake. I have to say that.
Yeah.
But I think it was actually, I'm not sure that you invented the skateboard, Kay. I think that I actually invented the skateboard.
Patty, you know, wanting to copy me can go too far. Okay, now here is the main way that you are trying. You are copying me by being popular.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you saw me, you saw I was popular, you said, hey, that looks pretty cool, I'd like to be popular too, and then you copied me.
That's exactly right. You're right.
So,
I can say nothing to defend myself, so I'm just going to hang up now.
You know what? That has been done before.
I imagine that it probably has.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't be you're my only mortal enemy, but you certainly would not be my only hang up. So, Patty, you know, in thinking about the opportunity to spend the hour with you, I really was excited because you are very dear to me in that sort of enemy sort of way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's really just no one that I can think of right off the top of my head that I dislike as strongly as I dislike you.
I think you're on the top of my list too, Kay. I think that's really what makes it work.
I know, but I mean, I assume you're like me. People are you know, kind of more or less, since we are so popular and we are so fascinating, they are fascinated by the fact that we are mortal enemies, and they don't really understand how something like that would come about. I mean, they can probably, my guess is they can probably understand why I would find you very dislikable.
Oh, I'm sure they could, yeah. And I've forgotten, you'll have to remind me your version of why we're mortal enemies. What
was
that?
Here's what I thought. No, it really was way before that. I mean, it was way, way, way before that. But here's kind of what I thought we could do.
Okay.
You know, I thought this would be a real good solution for it. Because see, if you can be an accidental lawyer, and I am, you can certainly be an accidental mortal enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think that's really, I think we more or less became mortal enemies accidentally. But since we are both capable of telling stories, we could each make up a story, and then we could each tell our story, and then I could decide which one was the best story, and then that would be our official version.
Okay, you go first.
I think you should go first.
No, I really want to hear your version. Okay, go ahead.
I know, but you know what? I mean, you're...
Okay, I'll tell my version.
Thank you.
Yes. So I was on Twitter, and I was having a chat with different people on Twitter, and I love this incredible community of people who gather on Twitter, and people who I've gotten to know really well, have never met, may never meet them. It's just this fantastic way to have conversation and laugh a lot. And so I was having just conversations with people on Twitter, and suddenly there emerges from the forest this woman, doll/woman, who starts attacking me. And her name, as it turns out, is Kay Ballard. And, of course, I thought it's Kay Ballard, the singer. So I start looking her up, and she looks nothing like the Kay Ballard avatar that I see, this baby doll that I see. And she just starts attacking me, and that's how the mortal enemy was born. There's not such an exciting story about it, except that it was completely your fault. And I had done nothing to provoke you at that point. And then deep fried okra came later. So that's the story. Not an exciting story, but a true story.
Mm-hmm. There's no truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no truth to it. It was actually much more dramatic than that.
Oh, what happened? Tell me.
Well, we were on Twitter, and we were having conversations. And we were trying to become friends. And we would tweet things that were banal and things that were somewhat friendly. And we did this for a while. And I discovered that you were an author. And I bought your book. And we tweeted about that some. And I read your tweets. And you read my tweets. And I started to determine that you were weird. But
copying you, evidently.
Well, but I mean, that came later. I just started noticing that you were a little weird and a little bit, sometimes a little bit hard to read and understand. And I tried to like you because that's the kind of generous, loving, and adorable person that I am. So I was very patient with your tweets, even the tweets that I disliked, and your tweets to other people. And I didn't snoop on you, goodness knows, I didn't do that. But I would see your tweets, I'd see the tweets you would tweet to different friends of mine and so forth. And, you know, my dislike for you just started to grow. So I, one day, being very, forthright.
Notably nefarious?
No, I'm not notably nefarious. I'm adorable and modest.
Oh, right.
But I decided to, you know, kind of let you know that I didn't think you were tops. And you reacted in a way that, you know, I think you realized that you had something to gain from that. You could gain some visibility, some notoriety, and a little bit of cool. if you could claim me as, you know, not someone who just found distaste for you, but claim me as an actual enemy. I think you did it. I think you are the one who did it. I think you referred to me as an enemy. And I think you're probably the one who came up with the phrase mortal enemy. Because I know, I do know this, that right after we started using the phrase mortal enemy to refer to each other, you chastised me because I failed to capitalize it.
And the trademark, you failed to put the trademark. If we're going to make money on this QVC hate locket thing that we have going, you have to trademark. You have to put the mark.
Yeah, I don't think we can get the trademark to mortal enemy. I don't think so, but I do think, and this is, Patty, this, I am not your lawyer. I would not be your lawyer. This is not legal advice. This is not, you know, if you need a lawyer, please hire a lawyer. Please hire someone competent. If you need competent advice, I am competent, but I will not be your lawyer. I do not think mortal enemy is something that we can trademark. I do think, however, that we have trademarked successfully hate locket.
We did hate locket.
Yeah. And that is where, you know, that is the money piece. That is truly the money piece. And I am wearing my hate locket now, and I just want to thank you for it. It is gorgeous, and I love it. You know that. And what I have done is I try to send you a thank you note for it like once a month because I can't really remember whether I've done it or not, and so I just do it over and over again because I am so totally adorable and polite that, you know, even though I hate you, I want to make sure that I have thanked you properly.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners should know that Patty actually sent me an actual hate locket, and it's gorgeous, Patty, isn't it?
It is gorgeous. It's really beautiful. I tried to post a photo. I took photos of it before I sent it to you, and I couldn't find them just before this show, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'll post them afterwards. It was really beautiful. It's your little doll avatar and my little drawing, orange-haired drawing avatar. So it really is lovely.
Oh, I adore it. And it looks,
I have mine
it looks,
on, too. I made one for myself also. So.
Well, I would expect that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just don't feel fully dressed without mine.
Oh, I don't either. No, I always wear it. Whenever I give a speech, there it is. I have it
mm-hmm.
with me.
And people come around and want to see it, don't they? Because
they
love to see me. But you put it on a black silk, a sheer black silk ribbon, and it's just beautiful. It is I will tell people, and it's on my website on my blog newmediamartini.com, and Patty was bragging right before this show began about the fact that she does have her own tab on my blog. It's the enemy tab, and if you look behind the enemy tab, you will see a photo that I took of the hate locket, and it is, you know, it is quite lovely. But and I thank you for that, Patty. I want to thank you once again.
Oh, you're welcome. There'll be many, many, many more of those.
Yeah, well, there will. And one thing about it, we have talked on numerous occasions about our plans to sell them on QVC, but what, you know, what year are we talking about? Because we're not doing it in 2010, are we?
I thought we were. I thought we were planning to. Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is, at the moment, I am exploring the possibilities and the plausibility of poverty. You know, so I want to wait until I have completely exhausted that experience before we start this on QVC, because I think the hay lockets will be an instant success.
Right. You probably could do that pretty quickly, though, don't you think? I could.
What is that?
Fully explore the poverty that you need to before we go on QVC.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I'm picking June. How about June?
You seem to want to rush things along, and June is coming right up. This is April 30th. I mean, April's shot, Patty.
I know it is.
April is over. And speaking of plans, I don't even know that we can be relied on, because about 10 months ago, you and I made some pretty special plans, didn't we?
We did. I was really happy about those plans, Kay.
I was happy about those plans, too. I was going to put you in the dirt.
Yeah, you were.
You see, listeners, we planned to compete in an athletic competition on May 2nd, I suppose, right? Or is it,
is May 2nd.
Mm-hmm. May 2nd. We were going to race, essentially, at the Cincinnati Flying Pig Marathon.
That's right.
And we made plans 10 months ago. I paid my $60 entry fee, Patty. You know, I
signed up too. We were all signed up for it.
I was dead serious about doing it, and the reason I wanted to do it, and I really did want to do it, is because I wanted to race you and win and do so publicly and humiliate you in the process.
Mm-hmm. What happened to that plan? Because you're not going to be there, right? Is that right? You're not going to be there?
Are you going to be there?
Well, you won't know, will you? Because you're not going to be there.
Well,
there
you go.
I was going to go, and when you said that you couldn't go, I pulled out of it, because what would be the point?
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the reason you pulled out of it. I think the reason that we both pulled out of it is because we had no other choice. And what I mean by that is, I think we both realized that the stakes were so high that we needed another full year to train.
Oh, that's probably it. Let's say that. That's good. Okay.
Do you like that story?
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I know. I can come up with them sometimes. Okay. So the deal is we were going to compete. This was something that was important to both of us, and we realized that it was so important we needed another year to train.
But you know the disappointment about that? Because so many people emailed me and tweeted and got in touch with me to say they were going to come. And you know why they were going to come, Kay? Because they wanted to see your face.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to see if you actually look like your avatar.
Well, the fact of the matter is I do, except I'm, you know, slightly better looking. The funny thing is that my personal physician joined Twitter, and she was on Twitter for maybe, she was officially on Twitter for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of that time, she wrote a tweet that explained that I do look exactly like the avatar, only I'm much snazzier and jazzier, I think
mm-hmm.
she said, something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I had that wonderful tweet, and any time anyone, you know, wanted to give me guff about my avatar, I would just send them a copy of the tweet. Well, my supposed friend, and actually she's no longer my personal physician, but she's still my friend, she closed out her Twitter account, and so that tweet just disappeared.
This is a theme with you, okay? This whole vaporizing of proof.
Patty, do you think there's a book in it?
I think there is. I believe there is. That's right. Vaporizing is a verb. I see it now.
Well, you know what? I have a lot of bad luck, it seems.
Mm-hmm. I'm making a note.
I don't know, but I am, as I'm saying that, and I'm really unhappy about the bad luck because I would like to have good luck. As I'm saying that, I am massaging my hate locket. You know, I'm fondling it, and I'm thinking, maybe my hate locket will bring me good luck. What do you suppose?
Maybe the hate locket is bringing you bad luck, Kay. You know, maybe this is a chicken and egg situation. I might put the hate locket away for a while and see what happens to your luck.
Well, I don't know. I could do that, but it looks so, so lovely. You know, one thing I did mention at the top of the show that this was a very, very special edition since you were the guest. And one piece of evidence for that is I came up with a very special segment just for you, you know, one we've never done.
I'm excited to hear what this is.
Do you like the idea? I mean, you like having your own tab. You like having an enemies tab on my blog. Do you like having your own special segment on Women Are Not Funny Radio?
Can I let you know after we do the special segment?
Well, okay. I can see why you wouldn't want to take chances. you know, clearly, if you would postpone our athletic competition for an entire, you know, new year. Okay. So I call this segment Patty Dye, How Dare You?
Okay.
So I have, you know, I have some things, some prosecutions, essentially, and I'm going to ask you, how dare you have these aspects to your personality? Okay. So the first one, Patty Dye.
Should I just sit quietly, Kay? Do I just sit here quietly?
Can I
put the phone down? Is this the part where I put the phone down and go away for a while?
No, darling. You're supposed to answer.
I'm ready. Because I also have some questions for you that have been sent to me by listeners. So
you go on ahead.
We'll have another special segment right after your special segment.
Okay. Well, that's fair. That is fair. If we, you know, on Women Are Not Funny Radio, we are not funny, but we are fair. So we will do that. Okay. So how dare you, Patty Dye, have a name so hard to pronounce?
I know. It's sad, isn't it?
Well, what do you say for yourself?
Well, how hard is it? You just said it. The first name is Patty, and the second name is Dye. It's not like it's, you know, Chicks Into My Hiley who wrote Flo.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
But can you not fess up to the fact that people never know how to say your name until they do?
Yeah, but that's the special part. That's the part where I know if people actually really know me or not.
Really?
I have a friend whose name is John, but everybody calls him Jack, and he knows that people don't really know him when they meet up with him and say, "Hi, John." So there you go.
So it's actually a trick name, you know. What do people think when they see Patty Dye? How do they think they should say it? They don't know, do they?
Digga. Mm-hmm.
Me too. I thought so too.
Did you really?
You know? At first, until I knew, I just didn't know. And then when I found out, I said, you know, of course. But
what's the opposite of low?
I know how.
Wait a minute. What's the opposite of low, Kay? What's the opposite of low?
Really low in the I mean,
what's
lower?
The opposite?
lowest.
Okay,
really,
you're looking.
Really?
No. Listen, you're looking at the ground and you say that's low, and then you look at the sky and you say that's.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it.
That's high.
Which is spelled exactly the same way, except with a D. How hard is that?
Exactly. It's not that.
I'm putting
point,
a little.
Patty.
I'm keeping score, and that one goes
Patty,
in my side.
Patty, no, darling. It is easy if you know it. It's like everything else. If you know, it's easy. But if you don't know, it is hard.
Kay.
So how dare you? How dare you have an answer?
K.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say H-I-G-H?
I'm not saying it. I know how to pronounce your name, Patty. My point is, if people do not know how to pronounce your name, it's a hard name. Okay. So, number two, how dare you, Patty Dye, refer to the world as worldy?
how dare you retweet that almost every morning when I say it?
That is too casual, Patty.
That is too casual.
The world is a sincerely serious place, and to call it worldly, I mean, that's a little bit casual, I think.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
Patty Dye, how dare you encourage people to write?
Well, I can do it because most of us in the world won't actually sit down and write, so there's very little at stake.
Oh, really?
Because
I was afraid. I got to thinking about it, and I thought, okay, Patty is encouraging everyone to write. She tells everyone they should write. On your blog, 37 Days, and I highly recommend that people read this, you have what you call a rant.
My wee writing rant.
Your wee writing rant. And it is one of the best pieces I have ever read about writing. But
Could you say that again?
I love that piece. I hate you, but I love the piece you wrote. Okay, I love it. I think it's excellent. But it also troubles me because if you encourage people to write, then there'll be all this stuff out there that we'll be obligated to read. You know, it'll be there hanging out in our face for us to read, and it's just a lot of work. In fact, you are so intent on helping people become writers that you actually perform at writing retreats. Is that not true?
Well, it depends on your definition of the word perform.
I knew that'd get you. I knew that would get you.
I think it was the intonation. You actually perform writing retreats. Yes, in fact, I do.
You know what? You could not expect me to give you a straightforward endorsement, could you?
Well, you know, I'm going to take the tape that you're making of this and just clip out that one phrase about how much you loved that writing rant.
Yeah,
and I'm going to play it like on an endless loop. On my website.
I can see why an endorsement from me would have great value.
It absolutely does. Mm-hmm.
So, Patty Dye, say a little bit about this writing retreat that you have coming up this fall
with two of our
friends. Yeah.
Jen Loudon and Susan Piver and I we actually met on Twitter, I think. I think that's where we met. Much like you, Kay, but we haven't gone over to the dark side in that case. And we've been corresponding with each other, and all are interested in writing. And we're coming together on November 6th in Portland, Oregon, to do a one-day writing retreat with the three of us. I'm very excited about it. A lot of times in the retreats that I do around life as a verb, there's writing involved, but it's not necessarily for writers. It's for people of all different kinds. So this is going to be an interesting way to, first of all, work with them, because I've not done that before, but secondly, to really engage with people around the act of writing. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, it should be fabulous, and I know all three of you, and I think people who attend that retreat or that one-day event we'll have quite an interesting day. You are all very different, but alike in your passion for your work.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so that will be a very chirpy day.
It will be very chirpy. I'm looking forward to it. You should come. I think that would be lovely to have you there.
Yes,
but like Cincinnati, I'm sure that you will register and pull out at the last minute, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You would not mind, because that would line your pockets, right? Speaking of that, did you get any sort of commission on my registration fee for the race in Cincinnati?
Yes, because I'm real big into affiliate stuff. Okay.
Yeah, you are an affiliate marketer.
Like, I can really figure that out. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how to do iTunes.
I do.
I'm making a note. I don't know how to do iTunes.
You don't know how to do
iTunes. Affiliates. No.
Okay. I'll help you with that. A yet-to-be-written e-book called Affiliate Sales Secret.
$47, lots of bonuses. Bamboo
lots of
Steamer.
Bonuses.
I got it.
Okay. So here's How Dare You, Patty Dye. How dare you post a photo of yourself on Twitter with your underwear on the outside?
What
are you talking about? I am talking about the photo with the, shall we say, megaphone.
This was recent,
Patty. Darling, this was recent.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Young men could see that photo and it would scare them.
What are you talking about?
You were wearing a
blue jogging suit.
Suddenly, you remember the truth. Patty, that photo was scary. You should not have done it. That was just scary.
Me
okay.
as Sue Sylvester, yes.
Yes. It was horrible. It was terrible. Any young man who would see that would be very discouraged. That's all I can tell you.
I like that word.
Okay, so, Patty Dye, how dare you?
You know, wait a minute. Let me just tell you what the tally is right now. It's 6 for Patty and none for you. So I'm just keeping track. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. Okay, Patty Dye, how dare you refuse to lie about your age? I mean, do you not know that this is not only a woman's prerogative, it is a woman's obligation?
Hmm.
You're very open about the fact that you turned 50.
I am, but you know, a friend of mine has turned me on to another strategy, and that is to always say that you're 15 years older than you are. Because then when you say that, people look at you and go, my God, you look fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that's my next strategy.
In your case, I think that's the only possible way that that can happen. You know, and it did occur to me that possibly, you know, as I was writing out this bill of prosecution, it occurred to me that perhaps you are actually lying about your age, and you're actually maybe 70 years old, and you're just saying that you turned 50.
Well, it was funny because I put something up about Tess graduating from high school in the year 2021 when I'm 90, mm-hmm. and I had a number of people write to me in direct messages and go, oh, my God, really?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it
will you be 90 in the year 2021? Wow.
It is extremely believable. Okay, now here,
I guess it is.
Here is something else that, you know, how dare you, Patty? And you've done so, you know, not only out in on Twitter, but you've done so actually on this very conversation. You refer to the enlightened one as deep fried okra.
Okay.
I think
I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm just going to give you that point.
Okay, but I mean, I think that is wrong. Even though you used him to hurt me, I think it is very wrong. And we're talking, listeners, about Deepak Chopra. She calls him deep fried okra, which I think is just really very disrespectful. Okay. Patty Dye, how dare you you're constantly snorting and bragging about it. Your tweets, I cannot count how many tweets you've tweeted that made me snort. And what is really strange about it is when you say that, you mean it as high praise.
Okay, I'm just going to give you that point, too.
See, you have no choice because I have, this is research. I have done research.
You have. Okay. I'm really impressed by this. I am going to hire you as my attorney whenever I need one.
Yeah. If you can afford me, I think that's a great idea. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now here is the, but you would probably have to move to whatever state I'm licensed in.
Okay, you know, I can do
because
that.
Because that is the other thing that is required, or fly in. I used to have a client from, when I was practicing in Ohio, I had a client in Indiana who'd fly in to see me. Okay.
I know this is all made up, but go ahead.
No. Everything I say is based on the truth. Now, here is the final one on the Patty Dye, how dare you. How dare you, Patty Dye, call Women Are Not Funny Radio my so-called radio show.
I didn't say
that. Yes, you did. You said it in print.
I've never said that.
You said it in tweet.
Mm-hmm.
You said it. You called it so-called radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's going on there, jealousy.
Well, I think that you don't even need to say that anymore.
Okay.
I think it's clear.
It's very clear, and who could blame you? Okay. So
I have 6 points and you have two.
I think I really kind of took you to task for all of the things you're doing that you really shouldn't dare do. That's the way I would see it. So do you really have questions for me?
I do, Kay. Yeah, I do. Let's see. Somebody wanted me to ask you where that incredible accent comes from that you have.
That incredible accent I have?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Thank you, listener. I do have
I love that.
It's an adorable accent, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have a lovely voice, and I thank you for that. And I don't know where it came from. I really don't. I grew up someplace, and then I lived other places.
I think it's this word. Here's what I think it is. Don't. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And where did that come from?
I don't know. I think it comes from adorableness.
I don't know. Yeah, it is.
I don't know. Okay, I think it comes from adorableness. Anything else? Clearly I'm happy to take these tough questions.
That was a tough one. The other one that I got was, do her eyes close automatically when she lies down?
I wonder who is the source of that question. I really do. I have suspicions, you know,
about who came up with that question?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You do know that I tweeted to people and said, I'm sure you have questions you want me to ask Patty Dye. And one of our friends, a recent guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio, Liz Scherer, said she would love to hear you talk about prom dresses.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I can do that. Do you want me to do that now?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
for Liz.
Well, Liz, thank you for that question. Yeah, prom dresses are really interesting things because 2 years ago I wrote a great story. I loved this story about Emma wanting a particular dress for her prom, and I'm trying to think what the name of the story was, but it was a story of a mother who would just do anything to get the dress that her daughter wanted for the prom, and it was a lovely escapade of being putting something out on the neighborhood listserv and being sent to the local Shakespeare Theater to the costumer who could make a dress exactly as she wanted it. It was like a Marilyn Monroe dress. It was just this great hymn to love and just this fantastic process of making that dream come true for her. And so this year is her senior year in high school, and I've been tweeting and putting on Facebook this incredible last 3 days of prom dress searching, because at the last minute, Emma decided that she and her tribe, this group of friends, would actually go to the prom together. So I don't know what Liz's question was about it, but it's just been this amazing 3 days of, you know, I think mainly my expectations versus Emma's expectations, and going from vintage shops to prom dress shops to, you know, all kinds of maneuvers around town to try and figure out what kind of a dress, and finding things that I loved that were very elegant and beautiful and, you know, showed off how gorgeous Emma is and just what a young lady she is, and her looking at those things and going, I think not, continuing this sort of, you know, I think I put that we were at prom dress search alert level red, you know, yesterday, because the prom is tomorrow. So it was a lovely couple of days of trauma and driving around town and wanting very different things out of these dresses, but she found the dress yesterday afternoon. So,
well, that is exciting. It sounds very exciting. It sounds like it sounds like a certain sort of mother-daughter combat. You know?
It actually was a little bit of combat for a while, but it was fun. It was fun, and you know, as many people said on Twitter, you'll miss these days. I'm already bemoaning the fact that she's going to be leaving for college, because I enjoy her. I love to do things with her, so it was actually a lot of fun to do.
Hmm. Yeah. Have you considered? You know, is it a definite thing that she is going to graduate? I mean, have you considered talking to her teachers and because, you know, possibly there's something you could do. You know, I'm not suggesting that you do anything.
You know, when I was in college, I was taking a physics class my last semester, and I said to the teacher who I've written about before, he was a professor of mine. I loved this man. He was incredible. And he said to me, I said to him at the final exam, I said, Sheridan, look, if things don't look good for me, you know, passing this class, could you just call me ahead of time so I don't show up at graduation with my whole family and I'm not able to walk across the stage? Because it was my senior year, my last semester. I didn't do so well. You know, I didn't really study all that much. And so a couple days before graduation, I got a phone call, and it's Sheridan Simon. And my heart just went straight through the floor, thinking, oh, my God, I have failed this class. I will never, ever graduate. And he was just calling me to tell me that I had made a good grade on it and I would graduate. But it's that moment of, you know, you get to a certain point and, whoa, this whole thing could change. That's not going to happen for Emma. She's done very well. So, yeah, I think she's leaving. She's definitely at that point in her life when she's ready to go.
Yeah, and it'll be tough for both of you, I'm sure, but it's an exciting time.
Oh, it's not
going to
be tough
time.
For her. It's not going to be
well,
tough for her. Trust
maybe,
me on that.
You know, yeah, I understand. In a small way, it will be tough.
Yeah,
okay?
It might be.
Should I have to find someone else to have, you know, combat with? And that is always
Well, we can do that by
phone and text and all of that. That's cool. That's very cool. And good that you know that. You know, how very modern of you.
I am very modern.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that, but too modern. I mean, do not, once again, please do not post photos of yourself with your underwear on the outside.
I'm going to post that right after this call so people can see what you're talking about.
Well, you can do that, but I mean, it will scare you. So do not, you know, some links are dangerous. Some links are affiliate links for, you know, colon cleansers. Some are links for scary photos. Do not click the
link.
That's
a beautiful connection between colon cleansers and my photograph. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. You know, I tell people, and I'm sure they anticipated it and are very curious about it, that I was actually going to ask you for advice.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
Well, I think it will be a miracle if you actually listen, but I'd be happy to, you know, wax poetic.
Patty,
what do you need help with, Kay?
All right, darling, listen to this and pay attention because
yes,
this is something for you to really understand. Just because I hate you, it doesn't mean that I don't think you're wise. I mean, I can think you're wise and still hate you, can't I? I mean, one doesn't preclude the other, does it?
Do I answer now? Are you done? Are you finished? Yes. No. No. It doesn't. No. One doesn't preclude the other.
Okay. So
yes.
Just because I hate you, I can still come to you as a wise person that I know,
and ask you
for advice.
Okay. I'm happy to help.
Okay. It's really.
And
not
if
advice.
I can't help you, Tess is here, so Tess can jump in. Okay.
Tess is brilliant, and Tess
she
would
is.
Be welcome to jump in at any mm-hmm. time.
She's wiser than I am, actually. So.
Well, I don't really have any evidence of that, but I do have evidence that she is very wise. So if she's not wiser than you, she is certainly wisdom in, you know, in waiting or wisdom in training or whatever.
Something, whatever.
You know, but Tess is a remarkable young woman, and that was apparent to me very, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
But so here's what I want to know. It's not really advice, you know. I mean, I'll be upfront. I'm calling it advice, but I really want you to give me answers.
Oh, okay.
And the question I need answered is, what do people want?
What do people want?
Mm-hmm. What do people want? Because I'm trying to figure it out, Patty. I'm trying to figure out what is it that people want. I mean,
I think obviously what they want is a comedy CD about divorce. I mean, that is the first thing that came to mind. It just popped into my head. That is the first thing that they want.
All right, Patty, you're kind of onto the root of this conversation because that would be a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I decided that it would be, you know, I just got this wacky idea. I do a comedy CD about my divorce. It was just wacky, and I put a comedy CD about my divorce on iTunes. That was my idea. And I never framed it in, do people want a comedy CD about your divorce? I never asked that question.
Uh-huh.
You know? And one of the things that I realize now is that, you know, and I think this is a good thing for any budding entrepreneur to understand, and I hope Tess, who I adore, understands this, it's very important to know what people want.
I disagree with you completely.
Do you really? Okay.
I do. I don't think it is necessary. You know, it's, in all seriousness, I get where you're coming from with that, but I'll tell you from my perspective. I've had so many people write to me and say a number of questions, some of which resulted in that writing rant that you waxed poetic about earlier. But people writing to me or calling me and saying, you know, how can I have a successful blog? How can I get my book published? And I always disappoint them. I'm sure that I disappoint them with my answer because my answer is always really focused on what it is that they long to say. What is it that they really want to put out into the world? As opposed to doing it the other way around, you know, as opposed to really looking at market. And I know that I'm going against every bit of all the stuff I see come across Twitter about knowing what your market is and creating products for your market. And I think that's fine if that's the life that you want to lead. But if you have something that you want to say, I think you have to say it. You know, it's an interesting dilemma. I watch Twitter sometimes and I look at the kind of gaming that goes on with product and placement and marketing and the things that we were talking about earlier, the bonus deals and the scarcity, get it before midnight, you know, those kinds of things. And I just step back from that and say, well, what is it that people are really wanting to say in the world? Are they only saying what they know people will buy? I mean, is that a valuable contribution to the universe as a whole? If what we're doing is kind of a closed system where I will only write the things that I know you will buy as opposed to write what it is that I feel strongly about or want to express in the world. So from that perspective, I would, you know, and I think that's probably what happened with your CD. We haven't talked about it, you and I, really to say what's the impulse behind that. But, you know, if what the impulse was to get this story into the world, then get it into the world. And do you know what I'm saying?
No, it's very interesting to me what you're saying, and I think you are certainly giving some credibility to my statement that you are very wise, despite being hateful, that you are certainly very wise, and there have been two occasions on this conversation where I immediately decided I would produce a product based on, you know, your need, because you need to learn how to get a CD on iTunes, and then more recently, I can't remember what my...
See, that would be the million-dollar idea. It's the one you can't remember.
Yeah, the million, exactly. But I think in the case of KK's divorce, I mean, this is the really thing that is really kind of weird about it. It really was, you know, you as an art lover, second to me, of course, as an art lover, you know, I'm sure, a good bit about conceptual art. And in some respects, KK's divorce was the conceptual piece, because what I was in love with, my wacky idea is what I loved. The whole idea that you could get a divorce, do a comedy CD about your divorce and put it on iTunes. To me, that was the thing.
That's performance art.
That is the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, you know, I think what we did, I like the piece. You know, I like what we did. I love Paula Kelly's song. She was my producer, and she really brought a lot to the project. I loved the painting that I used. I loved, you know, the graphic design work that Kate Carpenter did. So everything about it is just a big pleasure for me. On the other hand, it is not, it wasn't because I had a burning desire to get the story of my divorce out there. The story for me is that I did a comedy CD about my divorce. So I know that sounds stupid.
No, I think it's just another step back. I mean, I think it's the same point. I think you're making the same point. It wasn't that you went, you researched, you saw the data about, you know, people in divorce and et cetera, et cetera. You've still created a piece of art. You know, it is like a performance art. The story of making it is the art form in that case. I think that's kind of what I'm saying, that that's also represents this what is it that you long, you're creating something for the sake of creating it. You know, you're not creating it for the sake of X, Y, or Z. I mean, I think about these CDs that I copied you on, the CD book that I did.
Right.
And I know that there were two reasons that I did that book. The second reason is the most important, the audio book. But the first reason was I did a reading in Bend, Oregon, and there was a blind woman in the audience, just this incredible woman who runs races and climbs and all kinds of stuff. And she said to me after the reading, she said, I'd love to read this book, but I need to have an audio book in order to do it. So that was part one. And the second part is not altogether funny at all. It's not a funny reason for doing it. But was really a clear reason for me that my father died very young. I think you know this story. He died when he was 53, 30 years ago this month in May. It's a long, long time ago. And the thing I can't remember is his voice.
Mm.
And so a lot of the reason for taking the time and doing the studio work and reading that book aloud, because it was so much a book written for my daughters, was to leave behind my voice for them. And if other people want that, you know, if they want to do rush hour traffic in L.A., listening to that, that's fantastic. But that was the real reason for it.
Well, I think you have a wonderful voice, and it's part of the reason that you are a very popular speaker, and increasingly so. You know, I think you have almost more speaking gigs than you would like to have some of the time. But I'm sure that hearing you read that book will be a very pleasurable experience. And my guess is a lot of people who own the book will also want the audio CDs just for the pleasure of hearing it, because your language is very beautiful and your voice is very nice as well. So, and I say that really in the most hateful way possible.
I understand that, and I am making note of all these places that I'm going to make little snippets of this recording and put them up.
Well,
on,
you know, we do.
On my website.
We do. We have long been in the practice of doing edited retweets of
each
other.
Oh no, you can't edit these things. No, we have to have them because I have witnesses. Whoever's listening, you need to send me a tweet and let me know so I'll know who the witnesses are.
Very.
No,
funny.
That was lovely. I appreciate that.
But I think it is very interesting that you would yourself, and this is one thing that I want our listeners to know. Many of them know from their own experience. Some of them know from observing others, and some have never really given it any thought. But when you are an author, even if your book is published by a major commercial publisher, you are still the point person in marketing that book.
Oh,
you
sure.
are still the point person in getting an audience for the book. And so, you know, Susie Welch was our guest on Soiree Sunday night 2 weeks ago. She worked tirelessly. Even though she had great connections, she worked those connections to promote her book. It was not something, you know, she had some help from the publisher, certainly, and there was a big promotional budget to it. But she, like every other author, the reason her book has succeeded so wildly is because, well, several reasons, it's a good book. And she was totally behind it. And in an interesting thing in her book, Patty, she really is constantly selling the book. In other words, she's selling the idea. She wants people to actually use the decision-making framework that she lays out. Mm-hmm. And so when you know authors, and I know I'm so fortunate to have so many friends who are published authors, but it's really interesting and fun to know those who love their point of view so much that they want to take it out there and they want to find an audience for it. And you fall into that category. You really care about the things you write about, and it comes through. And that's why people love your writing.
Oh, well, that's nice. It's been a really incredible process, and I think really a grassroots bestseller, because it's readers of my blog who have invited me around the country and, in the face of publishers who don't have budgets for that kind of thing or don't make budgets for them. It's been an incredible grassroots process for me, so I appreciate that.
Well, it's fun to watch, and I know it's been a lot of work, so you deserve every little bit of success that you have achieved, and you have achieved a lot. So, you know,
you're being so nice to me. I'm getting worried because you're being so nice.
Patty, do not be confused. I do not like you. Okay?
I gotcha. Okay. I'm not confused anymore.
I like some things about you. But here's one, you know, you called it my so-called show. One of the powerful things about having your radio show is that you can just designate things like this coming month is going to be Fitness Month on Women Are Not Funny Radio, and we have some wonderful guests upcoming, including a rather big name guest next Friday, although that's not firmed up, so I can't say who it's going to be. But, you know, I guess you could call it my big start in training for next year's marathon, Patty.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is this kind of a joke? Because we're not doing the race, you're doing Fitness May.
No, it is just to get ready for you next year.
I'm ready. I'm already signed up. I'm ready.
Okay, so I'm glad to hear it. And Patty, I do adore you despite hating you, and I really want to thank you for being with me today. It's been a lot of fun for me.
It's been a lot of fun, Kay. Thanks a lot for inviting me.